Hi, friends. Before we jump into this episode, just a quick heads up. This is our research and rabbit holes deep dive for the Death Valley case. So if you haven't listened to episode 167 yet, you're going to want to start there first. That's where we cover the actual Dead Files episode and all the chaos that comes with it. This one picks up right where we left off and gets into all the weird history, the behind-the-scenes drama, and honestly, things get a little messy. So go check out episode 167 if you haven't already, and then come on back and dive down the rabbit hole with us.
All right. So since the investigation, this is what the cards at the end said. Since the investigation, Rich and Mary Lee have moved out. They no longer work at the hotel and have no plans to return.
Ooh, something happened.
Uh-huh. And my thought immediately was, I bet Marta's haunting it now. Because at being 88, back when this came out, I was assuming that she had passed. She has. Okay. So now we are into the good stuff, the research and rabbit holes.
Let's do it.
It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder.
I did find Rich and Mary Lee. They are Richard Regnell and Mary Lee Chavez or Chavez. I'll get to them in a sec. So now the Armagosa Opera House and Hotel. So it's in the town that is now called Death Valley Junction. It's in California on the border of Nevada, 5 miles away. The hotel was built in 1923 to 1925 is when it started. And then I noted, interestingly enough, Marta, the lady that ended up running that place later, was born at the same time. She was born in 1924.
Oh, wow.
She was born at the same time as the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a place to wine and dine investors at the Pacific Coast Borax Company. Mm-hmm. And there were 24 hotel rooms and a cafe and then the dormitory for the miners. There were trains that went directly there because they were hauling the borax out from the mines to where it was processed. And so this was built for people who are investing in the mining operation.
Okay.
And so it's for them and then also the dormitory for the miners, the workers. And from Wikipedia, it says, in addition to the hotel rooms, there had a cafe and a restaurant within the hotel. And the other rooms were bunkhouses for workers, an infirmary, a general store, and what is now the opera house, which was usually used for showing films.
Interesting.
And that's where I was like, remember that Amy saw those sick and injured people, never even talked about that, which I thought was weird. The mining operation dried up around 1928, so that was not used for that for very long. And the place was closed and it was abandoned. In 1943, the railways...
What year did it close?
1928. And it was finished being built in 1925.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It was only there used for that for 3 years. And then in 1943, the railways pulled up all their tracks and moved on. And so
I didn't even know railroads could do that.
Yeah,
I
thought they just put them down. They could take them up.
They had in the tracks.
They went to use them for in another location, which part of World War II, apparently.
Sure.
So it sat vacant for a very long time. In 1967, along came Marta Beckett.
Oh, sure.
Marta.
Yes.
Marta. She's the ballerina who basically She was a ballerina. She basically adopted the property. She fixed it up and kept performing at the opera house for decades, often to an audience of murals she painted herself for when no one showed up.
I love her.
Oh, just you wait. She is precious. More on her in a bit. So the town is called Death Valley Junction. Mm-hmm. It is, the property is the whole town. Like I said, there's no gas station, no stores. There's nothing around it. It looks like
stoplight.
It fell from the sky.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there. And there's nothing around it for at least 10 miles. The closest thing, there is a cafe now that's about 10 miles away. But that's the closest thing. And then everything else is even further.
Yeah.
I did watch a video from a creator called The Obscurest Tourist. It was posted 2 years ago. And he showed us around and it's pretty run down. Mm. Now, I did see another video that was from November of last year, and it looks much better.
Oh, good.
So I think that it's people are taking better care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy, when he went to the hotel, he was the only one on the property. He showed the check-in area, and it was caged off and locked, and it said, sorry, we're closed. And he said, when I got here, the person that works there was here. She checked me in, and then she said she's going home. She doesn't stay on the property. She doesn't even live in the town. She's going home to another town.
I would have not stayed there. I would have been like, oh, you're not staying? Yeah, me either. Bye.
I know, right?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I will sleep in my car.
I know. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it would be. Amy didn't say she saw anything on the property, like outside. Mm-hmm. It was all inside. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd want to take that chance. But when the woman went home, she did say to him that, oh, by the way, the whole town is haunted.
Okay, here's your room number. Here's your key. Wi-Fi password is ghosts here. And it's really haunted. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Have fun.
Love you. Bye.
He showed his room and everything. And then right outside his room, he said it was like 10 steps from the door of his room, is the place where Spooky Hollow was.
Cool.
He didn't know it to be called that, but he said this is the area that is walled. It's walled off now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there's like a big board on it that was then painted, and then a mirror up against the board.
Great, because nothing is creepier than a fucking mirror.
I know.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Love. What next? A doll in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Or a mirror on the other side, maybe?
Oh, not a mirror on the other side.
I don't think there is. I know that we don't need that. We certainly don't need that.
Not in this area.
Not right there. Mm-mm. Opening it up for all those people. But anyway, this man said that he did not have any sort of experiences. He had one of the greatest sleeps he's ever had in his life. I'm like, okay. Well, he had the whole place to himself. He had the whole town to himself. There's nobody there. And the cafe closed in 2010.
Aww.
So there's a story about that too. But so you have to bring your own food. And they have like a toaster oven for you.
Like, I have no idea. Is the appeal? I mean, I guess the ghosts is the appeal.
I guess. I pulled this
up. Do they have dishes?
I don't know.
To use? Or do you got to like bring your BYOD?
I don't know. I imagine they do have dishes. I don't know. They got a big refrigerator for you to put your food in. They say label it. Label your food and put. I'm like, oh, like I'm at work?
Yeah. Label your food so Terry from copying doesn't take your yogurt.
Exactly. I was just going to say yogurt. We're both thinking yogurt.
Don't bring fish because we don't want you to heat that up.
No. Oh, God. Don't put that in the microwave. You'll never be asked to return. Are allowed to return.
Well, who are they going to offend? There's nobody fucking there.
I'm sure they got some Febreze I can spray around in there.
Yeah, yeah. Candle, light a candle.
Yeah. So I pulled this off their website because I thought you would like this.
Okay.
This is a note to potential guests. Along with the, it gets real fucking hot, it gets real fucking cold, you know, plan for that. Mm-hmm. Insects, arachnids, and reptiles abound.
Nope.
During the hot months, inside and outside. Do not leave clothing on the floor, as this can be the perfect hiding place for scorpions and spiders. Lean your shoes up against the wall and shake out snakes before putting them on. I know, right?
That would not make
me want to go there.
So do they like, what could they call in your bed? Like, you wake up with a fucking spite. Oh, my God. I just left my body. No, absolutely not. Can you imagine? So not only am I bringing my own food, I'm bringing my own dishes. I got to label my food. There's a potential of a spider. Uh-huh. Fuck you.
And a snake in your shoes.
There's a snake in my boot. I mean, scorpions I can handle.
Really?
Scorpions don't scare me. You can bring a UV or a black light and you'll find them because they glow. They're bioluminescent. So if you shut the lights off and you have a black light, you'll be able to find scorpions.
So you can see them coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So you can see them charging you with their little legs.
Yeah.
You know, scorpions don't freak me out, which is odd because I'm
Those pinchers.
I know, but that's really
pinchers freak me out. Anything with pinchers freaks me out.
I worked in a pet store in Texas and we had a scorpion. We had scorpions and I held the scorpion all the time. It was really neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, you're so brave about some things.
I know.
And not about other things.
It's ridiculous because scorpions and spiders are the same family. So logically, you would think I would be afraid of them both, but I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. Spiders don't really bother. A giant spider would bother me, but little ones don't bother me.
I've been trying really hard. There's a couple of, there's one major account on TikTok that I follow called Venom, like Venoman 20 or something. And he unboxes, he has a bunch of tarantulas. And I've been trying, I've been following him. And I watch the videos and I don't, I it's hard,
better. Yeah.
But I watch them. Some, I can admit some of the spiders he has are really pretty.
Yeah.
Like really, really pretty. Like he has a cobalt tarantula. That's all blue.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want it in my house though.
Right.
Don't, no.
It's fine on screen.
Can you imagine waking up like Merv from Home Alone and there's a spider on your face?
No.
I would die and join Tom. I would be
Tom and Tom.
Join them both. William Moore and our paint franchise and Tom. And I could not.
Yeah.
And shake your shoes?
Yeah. Shake them out so the spiders can, or snakes can get out.
What is the appeal of this hotel?
I don't really. Well, when I saw the last YouTube video I watched of this woman that was there in November, she spoke to the man who's running it now, and he's the board, the director of the board, a board director or whatever, of the nonprofit that owns it.
Okay.
Marta left it to this nonprofit that she created.
Yeah.
And so they've been taking care of it. It looks to me like they're doing a really good job because it's much nicer than it was when this other man was there. But he was doing a tour kind of and telling her all about Marta's history, and it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I would go just to do the tour. I would not sleep overnight.
No, I'm not sleeping there.
No. No.
I could maybe get, like, deal with the ghosts, but spiders and snakes in the bed? Absolutely not.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, the hotel was also used in David Lynch's Lost Highway.
Is that a movie?
What is that? The movie's called Lost Highway.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then the Opera House was shown in the film The Hitcher with Rutger Hauer.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Is it scary?
He's a, he's a, is he the hitchhiker? Or is he the person that picks up hitchhikers? I don't even come. It's very scary.
Yeah.
He's very creepy. I love him. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Very scary.
Good.
So, yeah, I noted that the property was investigated by you know who in 2010. Mm-hmm. I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
No.
I did try this morning. And then I realized it was only a paid one. And I'm like, I'm not paying for that shit. So,
oh, no, absolutely not.
There have been two documentaries about this place. One of them is called Weird Tales, number 4, the Amargosa Hotel. Amargosa Hotel. I don't, you can watch it on Apple, but you have to pay for it. So I didn't watch it
because
I'm cheap.
Right.
And
right.
I didn't have time.
That's true.
I spent 5 days going on rabbit holes and on this stuff. I will say, I think if you're at all interested in Marta, you should watch Amargosa, which is a documentary from 2000.
Okay.
I watched it and she's in it. Okay. So she and her husband moved there and he got tired of that life and scooted.
Skedaddled.
She met another man, a drifter, who came in to like see the hotel. I don't know.
Sure.
And he ended up staying there and helping her and being a companion for her and
And
helping her with everything. And I'll tell you more about that. But he's in the documentary, too. It is a fascinating documentary. It's done really well. It's almost creepy. It shows her dancing. She's 70 something in the documentary and she's dancing on toe shoes and her little ankles are just going like this. And I'm like, oh, my God, she looks like she's going to break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She did actually break some bones at some point later in her life. And she did her show ended up being like a puppet show mime kind of thing.
Sure.
While she was sitting in a chair.
Oh, bless her.
I know.
Where can we stream this documentary?
I watched it on Tubi.
Okay. Tubi has some great shows.
It's free on Tubi. You can watch it elsewhere, but I found it on Tubi for free.
Yeah.
It did have commercials. However, when I watched it on my computer, the commercials didn't show up. But when I finished watching it on my TV, the commercials were there. So maybe I had an ad blocker. I don't know. Anyway, I do highly recommend that documentary. It was fascinating.
It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge.
Are Rich and Mary Lee still together? Do we know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I did find some stuff about their time there.
Okay.
And I found an article.
When did they leave again?
What?
When did they leave the hotel?
They left sometime between when the Dead Files filmed and when it aired.
That's right, because it was at, whoa.
So it would have been 2013 or maybe
12 to 13, somewhere in
there. Yeah, 12 could have been 12.
Whoa.
Because it aired May of 2013, so that tells me it was probably filmed 6 months before that.
Yeah.
So that would have been like November, December.
Yeah.
I think it was in the wintertime because Amy and Steve both are wearing like big coats.
Which, like, come on now.
So... And in the documentary, Marta was wearing like a big knit cap and a sweater. I mean, a scarf and a big long coat. And I'm like, isn't it like 150 degrees there? But it would have been winter.
Yeah, but it doesn't get that cold.
To be like 60.
Yeah. Well, you know, those southern people, they can't handle the cold. Us northerners.
That's right. Well, Marta was from New York City.
But once you live in that area for so long, you get acclimated.
Yeah.
My aunt lives in South Carolina and she hates the winters up here. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I have an aunt and a cousin who lived here, grew up here and everything, but they live in Tennessee now. And they want to come visit, but they're not coming till it's warmer.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I get it.
Anyway, so I did find an article that says that Rich might not be a great guy. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I will put it in the show notes if anyone wants to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free. But apparently, as of 2009, the Amargosa Cafe reopened under the management of Larry and Teresa Cantwell.
Okay.
In December of 2010, it closed.
Woo!
Rich closed it as part of a power struggle. And this article that I found says the most likely explanation is that the Cantwells believed they were lessees running their own business as an independent contractors, while Rich viewed them as employees with a resulting dispute over distribution of revenue.
Funds. Yeah. Great.
And then I found a letter.
Was there documentation of that anywhere, Rich?
Yeah, I don't know. But I found a letter later in the Amargosa Valley newsletter. Mm-hmm. Amargosa Valley is an area next to this town. Mm-hmm. But they're so close. And so Marta wrote a letter where she tried to clear up the rumors of what has been happening. And one of the things that she said is that there was embezzlement by the cafe owners. And so there's
Marta being his girlfriend.
Marta's the ballerina.
The owner. Okay. Yeah, sorry. There's a lot of M names in this. We got Margaret. We got Marta.
Yeah.
One of the people they interviewed was another M name.
Yeah. Well, and Margaret, that the artist was two M's. She was like Margaret something
yes.
else. Margaret M, two M's. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Marta wrote this letter saying, I want to clear everything up. Mm-hmm. Rich and Mary Lee are fantastic. All of my so-called friends who have turned their backs on me and all of this. And I'm reading this and I'm like, this is after I watched the documentary. And I'm like, again, I don't know this woman, but mm-hmm. this does not sound like something she would have said.
Yeah.
And so I'm very dubious about mm-hmm. if this letter was actually written by her or written by
someone else.
Mm-hmm. And there was some kind of this a story about a woman, a dancer named Sandy, who performed there. And in Marta's letter, she says that the reason that she quit or the reason that she was out is she asked for too much money and we didn't want to pay her that much or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And Sandy then comes out and says, trust me, the pay dispute is the last thing. And we all know what happened to Rich. I'm like, I don't know what happened to Rich.
I want to know, Sandy. Spill the tea.
Spill it. I want to know what happened to Rich. I think it's just a treat. Yeah, I think it's just it's a mess. There's two sides to the story. Mm-hmm. I don't think either side is great. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for poor Marta, who's stuck in the middle, mm-hmm. especially because there's also allegations of Rich and Mary Lee closing Marta off from all of her friends and everybody else and like feeding her bread and water. And
so in like the a letter Richard she wrote, Simmons type of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but the letter just sounded like, and I ran it through Morgan mm-hmm. and I was like, this is what this lady posted in this newsletter. Apparently she wrote this. And I'm like, I don't know the lady, but it just doesn't sound like her. And Morgan was like, yeah, it doesn't sound like an artistic 80-some-year-old ballerina would write something like that. So it sounded more like a way to control the narrative and to, you know, like say nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm. Move it along.
Stop asking questions.
Yeah.
So I found the letter. I cannot find it again. The website it was on, it's not taking me there. So,
really?
I do have a copy of the letter because I copied and pasted it. All right. So yeah, I had a link. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it wasn't working this morning when I tried to go there again. But I do have a copy of the letter, which I don't know if that's legal for me to post it. But mm-hmm. If anybody's interested, let me know.
Yeah.
Call me and I'll read it to you. But so it kind of makes the show makes it sound like Rich and Mary Lee left because of the ghosts, mm-hmm. but I think there was just a lot of extra messy shit.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So here's a little bit more about Marta. She was living in New York and she met a psychic who mm-hmm. told her that in the future, she would leave New York and live in a remote area where she would fulfill all of her artistic dreams.
Oh, cool.
And so she and her husband, guess what his name is?
Tom
Williams, they were driving around California and Nevada looking for a remote place to settle, and they got a flat tire.
The names are so similar. Tom Williams, William Thomas Moore.
And then the other guy.
Margaret Mary Lee.
Yep. And this guy's, her husband's Tom Williams, the guy that ended up moving there later and stayed with her was Tom Willette.
Oh, my God.
So there it's, and then William is the other Tom's first name.
Yeah, William Moore.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So while the flat tire was getting fixed, she, you know, toddled around the mm-hmm. the property and found the opera house, peeked in and was like, oh, my God, this is it. This is where I want to live. It's all abandoned. And mm-hmm. so she found out from the town that she could rent it for $45 a month as long
Holy
as she
shit.
Did all her own repairs.
Yeah.
So she did that. She painted the audience on the walls. Mm-hmm. And she says that when she danced, sometimes she saw the eyes moving.
That's terrifying. I don't like that, Marta.
Yeah. In 1983, a drifter named Tom Willett arrived and her husband left. Tom stayed on as handyman and companion to Marta, as well as a performer in her shows.
Oh.
And the documentary has video of some of their shows. It's hysterical.
Is it?
He's like in a dress with a wig and everything. It's, and they all do like miming kind of dancing. He's not really dancing. He's a big old guy and he's kind of an oaf, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's twittering around like a little ballerina and he's standing there like in a dress and a wig, you know, stomping around. It's hysterical. He died in 2005. Mm. In 2006, she wrote her autobiography, To Dance on the Sands. She stopped performing in 2012 and passed away in 2017. She was 92.
Holy crap. Yeah, I was going to say she was old.
She was old. And she wished to never leave the hotel, ever. So when she died, she was cremated and spread across the town along with wildflower seeds. And this was coming from Fred, the caretaker of the new guy from the video that I watched that was from November. And he said, so if you see a little yellow flower up there winking at you, it might be Marta.
That's cute.
Isn't that cute?
That's so sweet.
And one of the things that she painted was a picture of the hotel and the opera house, but as a ruin.
Oh.
Like all kind of falling apart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can see it's all like a sunset, you know, and the mountains behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see all these like dust devils, you know, the whirlies of dust. And then way up at the top is a little spirit of a ballerina.
Stop it.
I know.
That's cute.
Isn't it?
I think they're called dervishes.
It's such a sweet story.
It is very sweet.
And I really recommend watching the documentary. It's amazing. I did find both the articles that Steve had about the two Toms who died on the property. The only thing I found that was different was there is another article that does say that the second man, the one that Amy thinks was shot in the head, does hint at possible foul play.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun Kitty. Okay, I did go quite down a rabbit hole. I won't go into everything. But she ran the bar and brothel. When I asked Morgan about it, they were like, nope, she doesn't exist. It was all made up by the show. And then I went and Googled her on my own and I found a whole bunch of shit. And I sent it to Morgan and she's like, oh, look at you coming in with receipts. I'm like, well, how about you not lying to me?
Yeah. How about that,
How about you
Morgan?
Actually do the searching?
Yeah. Rude.
Oh, yeah. So like I said before, she was born November 15th, 1886, died March 20th, 1957. Which for somebody being under 5 feet and over 200 pounds, I'm surprised she lasted that long.
Yeah.
She was married 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
She had 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was 16, she advertised herself as a mail order bride. And that's when her first husband found her. She was 16. He was 34.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
Gross.
They were married in 1904. I know. They came to Death Valley Junction in 1907. Bob filed a homestead claim on the land and then built the saloon, grocery store, hotel, and brothel. Their living quarters were just north of the place where he built all that stuff, which is where the town is presently. So they lived on the land that is now the hotel.
Okay.
And the brothel was in a different spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she ran everything.
She
ran the store, served in the saloon, cooked for the boarding house, and took care of all the women in the brothel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all I got.
That's amazing.
I know that was a lot.
No, it's okay. It was good. It was really informative.
It was such an interest, especially the ballerina, her story was just.
Yeah.
Really
sweet. Yeah.
It really.
Sounds like she lived her best life.
She didn't even do that until she was 43.
Yeah. Which just goes to show you it's not too late, everyone.
It's never too late.
I love that.
It would probably be too late for me, but it's not too late for you.
Same.
But yeah,
well,
that was really fun. I have a lot of links.
Yeah.
So, but watch the documentary. It's free. It's on Tubi. It's 1.5 hours or something. It's a delight.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
A delight.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Thanks. All right. Well, hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's part two of our Death Valley deep dive. In case you're just jumping in, this is actually part two of a three-part series. Episode 167 was our recap of the Dead Fowls episode, Death Valley, and this one is our research and rabbit holes deep dive. And next up, we're going to be talking about the documentary Amargosa from 2000, which tells the story of Marta Beckett and her life at the hotel and opera house. After everything we've just talked about, her story deserves its own episode. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss part three. And join us next time where the activity continues.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.